Welcome to another message from myself, John Ferguson, the minister at Petercutor Church. And today I'd like to begin by reading from John's Gospel. It's at chapter 9, where Jesus heals a man born blind. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming, when no one else will work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him. "Wash in the pool of Siloam." So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbours and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. Amen. There's a story about two men who were once blind and had been healed by Jesus, who happened to meet one day, and they were excited to meet someone else who had been healed. They talked about how amazing it was to see the world around them. Then one of them said, "And do you remember how Jesus took that mud, spat on it, and put it into your eye?" The other man was stunned. "No, he simply said, 'Receive your sight,' and I could see." The first man said, "You mean he didn't use any mud?"
"No."
"Well, did he at least have you wash in the pool of Siloam?"
"No,
of course not. Who ever heard of anything so ridiculous?" "Well," said the first man, "if he didn't put mud in your eyes and have you wash in the pool of Siloam, you are still blind, because that's the way Jesus healed me. That's the way he does it." Then the second man began to get angry. He shouted, "Who ever heard of using mud? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You still have mud in your eyes. You're the one who's still blind." They got into a terrible argument, and their relationship was destroyed. And right then and there, they formed the first two Christian denominations, the Muddites and the Anti-Muddites. Well, that's just a funny story, but it does bear some truth within it, because it reminds us that sometimes we lose sight of the true meaning behind an event. We're blind to the heart of the matter, distracted by the trivial or the side issues, while what truly matters is staring us right in the face without us seeing it. The key aspect about what's called one of the signs that I've just read in John's Gospel is that it operates at two levels. We've got the level of a physical healing, a wonderful event for the man born blind. But there's a deeper message within the event. As well as being physically healed in an instant, the man also undertakes a more gradual process of receiving spiritual sight or spiritual insight. And alongside this, we discover that others are also blind, not physically, but spiritually. As we heard, after Jesus heals the man by putting mud in his eyes and telling him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, he returns to his hometown and encounters his neighbours. And his healing creates an argument among them. "Isn't this the blind man who used to beg?" "Yes, that's him." "No, it can't be him. It's someone who looks like him." And the man is saying, "No, it's me, honestly." And the neighbours want to know, how did this man called Jesus heal you? The neighbours are like many in our sceptical society today, who won't believe in something unless they receive a full scientific explanation. the existence of God cannot be scientifically proven, so people say, well, I just won't believe it. The resurrection of Jesus Christ cannot be scientifically proven. But Christians believe through faith that Jesus is alive. If we as Christians are always asking about the how rather than the why, if we're always seeking evidence for faith rather than simply trying to live it out, then we're missing the point. We're asking the wrong questions. We're blind to the deeper insights that faith can bring. If we'd read on further up into the story, we would have heard about the neighbours bringing the man to the Pharisees, who begin to question him. And they're appalled when they learn that the activity of healing took place on the Sabbath. This man is not from God. He does not observe the Sabbath. How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And here we have an example of an obsession with rigid rules and tradition that prevents these Pharisees from gaining spiritual insight. They are blind to the wonder of the story. They are blind to the fact that somebody has been healed by Jesus. They just won't accept it because it happened on the Sabbath. And sometimes it's bad theology that keeps us from seeing the truth about Jesus. Sometimes it's bad theology that causes us to be spiritually blind. The disciples and the Pharisees believed that the man was blind because he or his parents had sinned. This was the only way of explaining why he had been born blind. He'd done nothing wrong, so it must have been his parents' fault. They must have sinned in some way. That's a very poor way of understanding the situation. That is bad theology. The climax of the story happens in the final six verses of chapter 9, where Jesus finds the man after the Pharisees have thrown him out. They are so frustrated with him. And he says to the man, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man who was once blind replies, "And who is he, sir? Tell me that I may believe in him." Jesus says, "You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he." And then the final moment, not of physical sight, but spiritual insight, comes to the man. "Lord, I believe." And we read that he worshipped Jesus. Finally, his eyes are truly opened. There's no doubt that when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," that we are reminded that Jesus is bringing us spiritual insight. Christ is the bringer of light, of sight, of insight, so that we see things differently, more truly, more deeply, and more brightly, so that we can worship him and follow in his way. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we say thank you to you now for spiritual insights. We thank you for moments when we look beyond the physical, when we look beyond the material, to appreciate and understand something deeper and more meaningful. We thank you that the blind man's eyes were not only opened physically, but also in a deep spiritual sense, because he was given the understanding of who Jesus truly was, while the Pharisees and his neighbours were blind to what was happening, unable to comprehend that here is the Son of God performing miracles, bringing wholeness and healing to the sick and those in need. Lord, we pray that you might give us spiritual insight as we journey through life. Help us to look beyond the trivial and the shallow. Help us to look into what is deeper and more meaningful. And there can be nothing more meaningful than to believe that you are our Creator, that Jesus is our Saviour, that Jesus Christ is alive and with us in our journey through life. Lord God, we seek forgiveness for times when we have failed you, for times when we've not shown spiritual insight. Forgive us for times when we have focused on the trivial, when we have focused on the shallow. Lord, we are sorry. We are sorry for all the ways in which we've let you down and gone against your will. Forgive us for times when we've been petty or spiteful, selfish and thoughtless, unkind and uncaring to others, only caring about ourselves. Lord, we are sorry for all the ways in which we have let you down. Father God, we pray now for all those in need, and we take a moment to remember those suffering because of racial discrimination, because of bigotry, because people are homophobic. We pray for those, Lord, suffering because of the coronavirus and all those caught up in this tragedy. And we pray for those who are working hard to find a vaccine and to find ways of mitigating against the effects of this terrible illness. Lord, we pray for all those who are in need. And we do so in the name of Jesus, who brings sight to the blind and hope to those who feel in despair and light to those living in darkness. In his name, we ask all these things. Amen. Thanks again for listening, and I'll be back next week.